This is the MLW Radio Network.
Hello and welcome to a new episode of the Eastern Lariat Podcast, your show for news, notes, reviews, and opinions on the world of Japanese pro wrestling here on the MLW Radio Network. I'm your host, Striga. The G1 Climax is over, but we don't have the G1 Climax blues. Mainly because my friend Dylan has been putting out show after show after show on our Patreon just right after the G1 Climax finished. Dylan, how do you do it all the time?
Well, some of the stuff I was watching as the G1 was going on, I even missed one of my shows I did was about Pro Wrestling NOAH, which, you know, we're going to talk about a little bit later. I did their July 27th and August 4th shows, which I watched pretty quickly, and that was long before I actually recorded them, unfortunately. And Big Japan had one. I did one about their July 21st show, which had an incredible match in the main event. And I did one for All Japan, too, for the Atsushi Aoki Memorial Show. So I really tried to cover all of the shows, pretty much, that I could, and all of the companies. Because I know with G1, I mentioned this at one point, basically with the G1, it seems like it kind of envelops everything in wrestling a lot of the times. But there's also still other cool stuff going on in Japanese wrestling. And for the idea of the Patreon really was so we could cover all of that stuff. And, you know, if I watch these shows, I could break out from it. And that's some of that stuff we, you know, it'll be too old to talk about by the time we get to it, like that Big Japan show. So now with the Patreon, you have a place to go. Every single promotion will get its shine at some point. That is reasonably possible. Wrestle One has a big show coming up in a few weeks. And if some big stuff happens and we might not be able to get to it, or maybe they show a show live, now on the Patreon, you can go there. I'll have a show about it probably in pretty much all likelihood. And to be honest, it was a lot of fun doing those shows. I really enjoyed it. You know, I know we've got some good feedback on them. During the G1, a lot of people liked my everyday coverage of the G1, or every show coverage. And hopefully, because of that, I think that's really what separates us, because the truth is, and I said this on Twitter too, I know I'm not really the only one that does that, that covers the show every, you know, has every show podcast for it, but what separates our stuff is that we cover all this other stuff too. It's not just the G1, we have every company, and that's the only place you're going to get that online, where you're going to get every single show have a podcast for it, and every single company have podcasts for their shows as well. So I was really proud of all of that work. And hopefully to the Patreon subscribers that listen to them, hopefully you enjoyed them too.
Yeah, I hope so too. You know, even during G1, like for the first time, we did some stuff for other companies as well. We usually, we did our usual G1 stuff in recent years, we didn't give attention to any other companies, what we did this year. And we'll definitely talk about the Pro Wrestling Love in Yokohama show that's coming up on September 1st for Wrestle One. It's going to be something that we're going to talk about. You already said you did a show on NOAH. I've watched these shows too. We're going to talk about NOAH in a bit too. But you said you did the show on Big Japan, on All Japan. I haven't seen the Big Japan show yet. I'm about to. You also did a Pure Heart, Pure Lariat show. You talked about Sendai Girls, Wave, and the 5-Star Grand Prix from Stardom that has started right now. That started on the last weekend.
That's right.
So if you want to get some influx on these companies, check out Pure Heart, Pure Lariat. The show is already up on our free feed as well.
Yeah, that's for everybody, too. You can listen to that show. There was a lot of cool stuff, too. Even you were talking off air about some of the Stardom matches you saw.
Exactly.
Which really, I really loved them, too. I talked about those as well. Both of their shows, the July 24th, and then their August 10th show. With Stardom, everything kind of got crunched together to build up to the Grand Prix. There was some news on there. You know, Casey Owens couldn't come because of visa issues, so they put Izumi in. I talked about that. I talked about Stardom and Fire Pro teaming up. Still trying to figure out that mystery 10th person of the downloadable content, content on Fire Pro. We don't know who it is. We think it's Jungle, but because Kiona always loses her big matches historically, some people think that she could be the one that takes the fall. But no, hopefully that doesn't happen. Some people, hopefully that doesn't happen because she is an absolutely brilliant pro wrestler. But yeah, all those companies got on that Pure Heart, Pure Lariat. I talked a bit about Pro Wrestling Eve in England, how they started to unionize and stuff like that. I had a little segment on that too. And next week on the show too, if you check back later this week, I'll have a show with Pumi Bunyatude of Gato Move, awesome. The GM of that promotion. I talked to him. We went about an hour. It'll be interesting to see how that's received after my first interview with Yappy, which I was really proud of. I thought that was a lot of fun, and Pumi brings an entirely different perspective than those interviews, because obviously he's not a wrestler, he's a management person, promoter.
Yeah. Especially through YouTube, you know, Gato Move has been getting some really good attention, so that's going to be very interesting to listen to.
Yeah, I asked him about his YouTube commentary abilities on there, too. I even brought up when the U.S. World Cup team beat Thailand. I really bad at that time too. At one point, but I really tried to find common ground between us. Some stuff it looked good. Some stuff maybe, you know, it worked better when Yappy was on, I guess you could say. But we'll see how it goes. I had a lot of fun doing that, so hopefully everybody checks that out and enjoys it too.
You know, I thought it was a stupid pun, but I'm gonna do it anyways. I really feel like Gato Move is making some moves.
Strigger, ladies and gentlemen.
Sorry, not sorry.
What a guy. Like I said, what a way to start off the show, too. I love that. We've both been watching wrestling, and all kinds of stuff has been going on. So I'm really glad you found it in yourself. You have the confidence in yourself, the self-confidence, to make that pun, because not everybody would. That's almost a life lesson right there you've given us, Strigger. Always be confident in yourself. Never give up on your puns.
Confident in your puns.
Even when they're terrible, just go for it. That's my advice.
You said I've been watching some Stardom 2. The reason that I've not been able to catch up with all promotions is that I noticed that I still had my Stardom and Dragon Gate subscriptions to their services, so I watched their shows. I've been watching some of the Kurrican Hall shows that Stardom have been putting up in the recent months, and of course through that, I've been able to follow along the Arisa Hoshiki title reign of the Wonder of Stardom title, and what an amazing title reign it has been. I'm up to the Hoshiki versus Hasuki match from July 24. Absolutely outstanding match. You talked about it on your show, on your Pure Heart, Pure Lariat show. Most amazing spot in this match, the Lama Heist Trail Cradle near fall, like as close to three as you can get. What an amazing stuff. It's just
that was like one of the best spots of the year in wrestling.
Absolutely, absolutely. Great stuff. Yeah. I'm still about to watch the Kiona match that is even rated higher than the other matches that Hoshiki had in her title reign. Even though the Nakano and Hazuki matches were great, the Jungle Kiona match received a 9.47 rating at Cage Match, so I'm really looking forward to that match. Yeah, that's high.
Yeah.
I just want to shout out the highest G1 climax matches usually do.
Yeah, I know. I mean, that was a great match, but I really think they were neck and neck, both of those matches, personally. I talked about it a bit on the show. But I just want to shout out Jogo Kiona for starting to do the Kiniku Buster, the shoot version, too, not like the Muscle Buster version. She does the real version, and it looks amazing. If you listen to our Patreon show, we did our very first show was an introduction podcast, so I mentioned it, my very first match, that was the first move I did. Because I stole all of my moves from video games when I wrestled until like 2005. So Jungle, and I've never seen it. First of all, it hurt my shoulder when I did it, so I had to stop very quickly. And they got very mad when I did that. But I love that someone has the guts to bring this move back. And she's done it multiple times now, so I think this is becoming a regular move. Bring back the Kaniku Buster / Mexican Stretch Buster, as it was known in SmackDown Here Comes the Pain. I don't know why it's Mexican, but it was in the game, so that's what I call it. I had no idea what to even possibly name that. And I only used it once. But if I had, it would have not been the Mexican Stretch Buster. I will say that.
She should have an alternate gimmick to Jungle Kiona. She should now be Kiniko Kiona, which would be like Muscle Screaming Woman. That would be something too.
That would be a great gimmick. You know, Kinnikuman, very famous anime. Yeah. That's where that move came from originally. And I think she could definitely pull that off. You know, maybe that would help her win more. So that would be cool if that happened.
Adopting new gimmicks to win didn't play out for Hiroki Goto 2, so don't get your hopes up.
Same. Pretty much.
That's true.
He didn't change at all. Pretty much.
I want to briefly talk about the Atsushi Aoki Memorial Show too, because I know that you already did a show on that as well. You know, what I really loved about the Aoki Memorial Show that happened on the Saturday when the B-Block finals of the G1 Climax happened, so I didn't watch live. I watched it later. Really loved that the show, even though it was a memorial show, didn't have a sad feeling, because I thought that everybody was there to have a good time and to give their best to honor the legacy of Atsushi Aoki. And it really felt like in the end, even when they did the 10 belt salute and had the photo in the ring and Evolution was there, Yusuke Okada was smiling from ear to ear, because I think he was so happy that they were able to put this show on. And they didn't, of course they some of the guys were crying and had some tears in their eyes, but overall it was more of a happy feeling, I thought. That was really interesting.
Yeah, really, Suwama was, I think, the most emotional person. Yeah. He was on the video before the main event, too, when they showed all the pictures of Aoki's career and stuff. Mm-hmm. Taniguchi was really emotional, too, I noticed in the end there. He obviously came around right around the time Aoki did. So, but yeah, a lot of these guys, I really think, like I said, this was to honor his legacy, and we're going to see that legacy continue on through the young guys we saw on this show, pretty much, like I said. And I just think it's really cool that I'm not just playing around here or like being over exaggerating. I truly love what they've done with the junior title since his tragic passing.
Yes.
I think that's such a cool thing, like that they're continuing to let this go. So his legacy will continue on even a little bit more, even after this show. And I love that the family was so involved with this, which is really what this show is about as much as anything, was Aoki's family. And I know that they put out a statement recently that they love seeing all the fans and the love they had for him and the love between the wrestlers and Aoki too. So to me, this was honestly, I don't know if you agree with this or maybe you think I'm overdramatic. I thought this was one of my favorite shows of the year, if not the best of the year, to me. I love the last five matches, really. If you look at everything besides the opener and the Fuchi match, I think the last five matches are all great in their own way.
Yeah, I thought the Okada Ippei Ota match was a little bit short, but you know, Ota has been out for so long, but the airplane spin Ota did was definitely one of the greatest spots of the entire evening.
And that's just like, Okada is a worker beyond his years. Yeah. Because if you look at that match, you're right. Actually, the next match was, the match after that was really short too.
Yeah, yeah. But, so like the final four matches really were worth checking out. The shoot style tag match, Hikaru Sato and Takuya Wada against Fuminori Abe and Takuya Nomura of the Astronauts. Amazing grappling stuff there.
That was my favorite match on the show, actually. Just as a match, it didn't have the emotional weight of the main event, but as a pure match, I thought Abe was phenomenal, and I loved his and Sato's. And really, even him and Wada, too. I thought Abe was the best of the four, but him and Sato had great exchanges. But I was just going to say, Okada, he worked such a basic match with Ota, but it worked in a way where Ota looked better here than he did in his actual career. And if you remember Ota, yeah. He was never he was cool. Like, he brought the airplane spin back. You know, that he did that in his prime too. But here he was never considered a top prospect. But here I thought he looked really good, and he's somebody that if he wanted to make a comeback, and how jacked was he? That was the part that I couldn't believe more than anything.
He was,
how big did he,
dude?
Get?
Yeah, and you know, he was kind of the ultimate spirit of this entire show, because remember, he ended his career after Misawa's death because he couldn't bring himself to go to the training even anymore. He was like really freaked out when he thought about wrestling. That's why he quit. Mm-hmm. And also, he broke his jaw too, but I don't really think that was the main reason. I think it was more like
I've heard
Yeah.
I've read he had a mental breakdown.
Yeah, exactly. It was more mental, I thought. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
yeah, see.
Seeing him coming to the ring, also, just like Okada after the main event when they did the memorial stuff for Aoki, smiling from ear to ear. That was just the ultimate spirit of this show embodied in Ippei Ota.
Oh, man. Like that was a great moment just to see him, even though the match was short. But I thought that was a great match for what it was. It wasn't like a great match on its own, but for 7 minutes, I couldn't imagine these two having a better match than what they did.
And you know, something that we brought up before on this show is that these two companies, especially after all the splits that happened, they are so... I don't know how to really phrase it, but they have this shared history with one another. Like, Akiyama now is with All Japan, not the president anymore, but he still played a crucial role in All Japan's recent years, and he's going to be on the next big Noah show as well. Then we had Taniguchi on this show, Sugiura on this show, we had Maro Fuji back again, we had Hitoshi Kumano, Ippei Ota on this show. The history that these two companies have, they are just so... I don't know. What's the right word to use there?
It feels like their histories are almost intertwined.
That's the word I was searching for, and I didn't know how to phrase it in English.
No, it's okay, but they're so similar because really, the All Japan of the 90s, you know, Baba's era and even Muda's era, that company technically went out of business.
Yes.
This All Japan's technically a different one. So actually both of these companies, and Noah obviously broke off from the original All Japan, so both of these companies share that lineage without actually being the company. They're almost both spiritual successors to All Japan of the past.
Yeah, and that's really a feeling that I got from this show, that the two companies have so much in common, even though they are so different. And technically they're rivals.
Yep.
You know, and
can I just say how amazing Kumano looked in that match too?
I've never seen
him look that good. Just like Ota,
he was so fired up when he had this sequence with Akiyama.
I don't know what brought it out of him. I remember saying that Akiyama should have a feud with someone for All Japan to really get them ready for the main event. I think that was the answer because that's what helped Kento originally. Everybody doesn't talk about that now, but before he won the title, he had a 2-year feud with Akiyama that made him ready. And I think if Akiyama had that touch with someone else, I think he would do an amazing job for All Japan, no matter who it is. It could be Kumano. Help Noah out. It's fine. Like, because Kumano's never looked this good until this match. And Nomura and Sugiura had great interactions, too. I thought that was a really strong match.
Yeah. Just great stuff overall. I think you can say that. Very good show. Just enjoyed it all around, and
I love that they had Maro Fuji and Kento interact so much
exactly,
in the main
that's,
event.
That's what I was going to bring up next. So they kind of teased this match between the two again. Miyahara and Maro Fuji basically didn't want to share the spotlight, and the one that really got lost in the shuffle with all that was poor Yuma Aoyagi, because he was beaten down by his opponents, and Kento, Maro Fuji were so in conflict with one another that they didn't really care about poor Yuma Aoyagi.
Poor Aoyagi. Well, did it surprise you that Maro Fuji seemed to be the fan favorite above Kento?
I think he was genuinely surprised too, because you could see it on his face that he was so happy about that.
Yeah, that totally spurred on Kento. I think Kento, and I've always said this, he has natural heel tendencies. His swag level is super high, and it works for him as the babyface ace too, but if he wants to be a dick about things, that's really where he could shine. And I thought he brought that up here against Maro Fuji.
Exactly. Yeah, so great stuff there. And just this morning, just before we started recording this show, the new card for the upcoming Kurken Hall show was put out. All Japan did have a set of shows this past weekend, and some stuff happened there that led to this card now. We have, in the opening match, a match between the All Japan rookies and the Big Japan rookies. Yusuke Okada, Atsuki Aoyagi, and Dan Tamura against Takuo Kato, Yuki Ishikawa, and Akira Yodo. Definitely check out these Big Japan boys, especially Kato and Yodo, are the spiritual successors of Daisuke Sakimoto too. They just look amazing, just like him, and they wrestle just like him.
And you, I noticed that on my Big Japan review that Yodo is shaped like he's proportioned, generally just like him. And it's hard to
it's
get
crazy,
that
right?
Exactly. Like, see, I noticed it. I really liked what I saw from those guys too.
Yeah,
they're good. They're guys to watch. Ishikawa too.
Ishikawa is going to be a deathmatch guy though. So
yeah.
We have a 6-man tag: Ultimo Dragon, Yuma Aoyagi, Jun Akiyama against Masanobu Fuchi, Osamu Nishimura, Nikaru Sato, the usual stuff. Then we have an EWA Intercontinental Championship match for the Austrian promotion EWA, that is ran by Chris the Bambi Killer. Tajiri defends the title against Akira Francesco. If he's back, he's out with a spinal injury right now. Then, this one. A Hellboy movie public promotion 6-man tag team match, Dylan. The Hellboy movie is going to premiere in Japan in September. So the match that's going to happen is Takao Mori, Black Mensore, and Hokuto Omori against Jake Lee, Koji Iwamoto, and Hellboy.
Oh boy.
Let me just tell you a little bit more about Hellboy, okay? So, Hellboy, he belongs to the Paranormal Investigation Defense Agency. His date of birth is December 23rd, 1944. His hometown is Hell. He is taller than 213 centimeters. That's way, way above 7 foot. He is weighing in more than 227 kilograms. And his good technique, or his special skill, is the right arm of ruin attack. I didn't make this up. I'm just reading this from the PKDX public press release for the All Japan card.
Well, listen, that's quite a backstory.
I know
he spent some time in Ireland. I've done some research on this Hellboy, Striga. I know he was. He went after some people that he was investigating some paranormal stuff, like some psychics and things like that in the past. But that, you know, I know. I think he had some controversy though, because I know he's had some interactions with some cartels and things like that, which is, but he was fighting them, as I understand it. He's a real-life superhero, almost, this Hellboy.
Interesting story, you know? Especially that he's now apparently aligned with Sweeper. We'll see where that goes.
Why else would he, you know, what other faction would he join if it wasn't Sweeper? I mean, these guys are clearly the ones that would take after his, you know, heroic and super, you know, anti-hero establishment. He's not really a hero, but maybe like an anti-hero would get him there. But he, as I understand it, this guy is strong, like unreal. So let's see how he does in the All Japan ring.
So enough with the shenanigans. There are three top matches on this card, and the next one is interesting because it's Yoshitatsu and Joel Redman against Dylan James and Kotaro Suzuki. And I noted that Kotaro Suzuki isn't working a lot for All Japan anymore, and he wasn't on the Aoki Memorial Show. I thought that was really interesting that he wasn't on there. Of course, Kanemaru wasn't either, but he's with New Japan now. But Kotaro Suzuki could have been on there. But he wasn't.
Yeah.
Hmm.
I don't know.
That's weird. Especially weird that he's back now.
Yeah, like, he's like a natural, like, they're a tag team, you know, like Aoki and him.
Yeah.
You know, like, they have a long tag team history. I don't know why he wasn't there. He really should have been. I don't know. I can't really even answer that, to be honest.
Yeah, me neither, so. We have a World Tag Team title match. The Violence Giants, Shuji Ishikawa and Zuwama, defend against Zeus and Rujisai. And to be honest, Dylan, this is All Japan. I can clearly see the makeshift team of Zeus and Rujisai just winning the belts.
Great. Let's hope that doesn't happen.
This is All Japan, Dylan. You know that.
I know, but like, they got a little bit of momentum after this show recently. They've got the tournament coming up, the Odo tournament.
Yep.
So like, let's not mess everything up right now. Let's keep things going in the right direction.
Damn it. Can you see the title change in the main event, though? Kento Miyahara defends against Naoya Nomura.
No, that wouldn't even make sense with the tournament coming up. Yeah, by a sense. Well, yeah, but that's not going to happen.
I don't think so either. But just messing with you.
Yeah, that's true. You never know. Maybe Rasputin from Hellboy could come in there. He might make a run in and challenge. Listen, they need new challengers. If they're gonna dig into the Hellboy universe, bring Rasputin, bring Herman von Klimt in, bring them all like from there. If that's what we're going, he needs new challengers. Bring
them
in.
Bring them all in. Yes, that's it. Okay, so I guess that's it for All Japan now. We already brought up some names from Pro Wrestling Noah because we talked about the Aoki Memorial Show. And the main talking point on this show is going to be the N1 Victory Tournament that Pro Wrestling Noah has running right now. And yeah, we know that the first show already happened, but we are going to pick all the other matches right here, right now. So we have our final...
There are only two matches.
Exactly. That's not really a problem. So we're going to talk about all the other stuff. First of all, going through the blocks again. Block A has Naomi Chimaru Fuji, Takashi Sugiura, Goshi Ozaki, Masa Kitamiya, and Alex Hammerstone of Major League Wrestling. And of course, we have Maro Fuji in there. He recently bursted out some of his lucha moves that he hasn't used in a long, long time. And I'm really impressed by Maro Fuji's recent performances against Shiozaki, for example, or even against Kotaro Suzuki, the match we talked about on our recent show. And also his performance on the Aoki Memorial Show. I really think that he is highly motivated to make this tournament a good one.
That Suzuki match was really strong, I thought. It was really cool seeing him use all those old school moves. And the only question I have about him is, what's up with this new hair color he's got on the side of his, with the blonde? I don't know about all that. I got to question him on that end. But in terms of performances, I agree with you. He's looked very good of late. Even in that Aoki show, I thought he stood out in the tag match main event. So,
you know, he's pushing 40, Dylan. Maybe he just wants to try something new.
Well, you know, we all go through our midlife crises. maybe he saw, because I know he was very mad when Kenta went to New Japan. Mm. I think he saw that and it drove him. First of all, it inspired him to be even better than he was earlier in the year. And secondly, he wanted to do all new stuff, get rid of all the past. He's bringing in a new era of Maro Fuji to this tournament and to the world.
Yeah, so the last time he had the GHC heavyweight title was in January of 2016. He had this very brief run.
I hated that.
Where he beat Minoru Suzuki and then right away lost to Takashi Sugiura, who joined Suzuki-gun. Let's never talk about that ever again. So, yeah, he seems to be motivated. Just like Takashi Sugiura, he's always motivated. This guy, I don't know how to praise him. I don't think I have the right wording to praise this guy enough because he's so outstanding in his age with his medical history. He's just a killing machine. That's it.
Probably one of the best wrestlers in the world and certainly one of the best, probably the best at his style that he has. Just an incredible performer. Like you said, I love everything about Sugiura, and he's always been great. So there's no even question about that. And those two guys really represent Noah to me to the crowd and to everyone. I think those two really represent them, and I can't wait to see what they do here. And like I said, in the tournament, the way the blocks are set up, it's only five people per block. So this isn't something that's going to be crazy. You have to go into crazy mathematics or anything, which funny because in G1, people struggled with that. It's never been that much of an issue for me. I can always kind of figure it out pretty easy. But this one should be very easy for people to follow. And Sugiura, he's going to be one of the main people in his block, too. And he recently, on the fourth show, in a tag match that I thought was phenomenal and really loved, was when he teamed with Hideki Suzuki versus Kaito and Taniguchi, and he actually choked out Kaito and got a win over the champion, which was good build.
It was good build, definitely. And the reason that Kaito was choked out, Kaito is the champion, he has enough build behind him right now, is that they really want to push Shuhei Taniguchi bad. They want him to be a top guy.
He looks good, I think, at 50.
Yeah, and so Sugiura, he was the GHC heavyweight champion until December of last year, and also had a brief run with the GHC Tag Team Championship this year with Kazuma Sakamoto. He was champion for 2 weeks. And third guy in their block is Goshi Ozaki of Axis. Of course, he was GHC Tag Team Champion with Katsuhiko Nakajima this year too. Still the reigning Tag Team Champion, actually. Mm-hmm. And yeah, Goshi Ozaki. What can you say about this guy? He's... I don't know. He's very much... I don't think the comparison isn't really true because he won the title and Hiroki Goto hasn't. But it still feels like that he always is the guy that is on the fence of being main event guy, but he never really made it to the levels that people expected from him early in his career.
Yeah, I think he definitely never made it to those levels, but it wasn't because of lack of trying. He's gotten the title at multiple companies both times. He's a great worker. I really think he's a phenomenal in-ring talent. His match versus Hideki Suzuki.
Oh, man.
That was a great match.
Yeah.
And he's had many great matches in the past. He, to me, is the perfect person that can really... And he helped Kaito get over last year in their tag team together, mm-hmm. too. He was a great worker. But it does feel like, to me, him and Nakajima both, but especially him, like, because Nakajima is kind of a different animal right now. Go is more or less the same as he's always been. Great wrestler, but he's better off in a tag team to me than a main event scene. I think if he doesn't change, there's not a significant change with him. I don't think he could be the top guy in the company. At least if it were up to me, I just don't think he has that connection with the crowd.
You know, he's been in so long, I don't really foresee a big change coming for him. He's a 7-time tag team champion, so that tells you all you need to know about him.
And he's, like I said, he's left the company, he's had bad publicity and bad luck at times. His first title reign was when Misawa died, and it was kind of like he wasn't going to succeed. Like, no matter who it was not going to succeed in that role. And then he jumped ship to All Japan, and the crowd really turned on him after that happened. Remember when he came back to Noah and jumped again from All Japan back to Noah? The crowd hated Go. Like, he was super, like, he was like, you know, Jay White.
It was kind of the Kenta level too.
Well, the Kenta, they just didn't really care, but maybe Kenta on after he turned and joined Bullet Club.
Do you remember the first shows that Go was on? People didn't really react to him whatsoever, except for booing him at the beginning.
They booed him hard, like
in the beginning too. But through the match, they really sat there on their hands and didn't do anything really.
They really didn't give him, like, they booed him pretty hard. It wasn't a good kind of heat either. Like, that's why I said, it wasn't like he was an over heel. Like, it's like, they really don't like him and kind of don't, you know, they want him to go away, kind of. But he eventually, through his good work and performances, he kind of won them back over. And now, I'd say Axis is one of the best parts of Noah.
Yeah, exactly. Axis, I feel like, came on the expense of Masaki Tamiya, who is the fourth guy in this block. Because, well, Goshi Ozaki and Katsuki Nakajima, they formed this great tag team, and they are all over the Noah Twitter. And I feel like that Masaki Tamiya fell behind and got lost in the shuffle. He's with this Kongo unit now, with Kano and Yoshiki Inamura, but really hasn't been able to do anything on his own in recent time. Was a GHC Tag Team Champion with Katsuhiko Nakajima twice in 2018, but except for that, didn't really do a lot.
Yeah, Kitamiya, he's an interesting story because he's someone that whenever he gets a title shot, he really delivers pretty strongly, I would say. I think a lot of people would think that. And, you know, he's a good worker. I think that at first, I really didn't like the aggression breaking up because this could be a possibility. But I think Axis really went to another level that they couldn't have gone, that the aggression couldn't have gone, just my opinion. And nothing against him. I think he's a really, like I said, really strong worker, brings a unique style compared to someone like Go. He has more of a power game than a lot of these guys. Pretty much between him and Taniguchi, to me, are very similar And I think he's probably the better of the two in ring. So that's kind of his role right now. He's considerable, respectable upper mid-carder, but he's not someone... in this block, I actually feel like he could get a big win or two just to give him something, but I wouldn't bet on it. In this block, he's kind of the one that, is lost in the shuffle again.
Yeah. Yeah, that's sad. That's really sad. The final guy in this block is Alex Hammerstone from MLW. Of course, the MLW National Open Weight Champion, and he won his first match against Goshi Ozaki. Didn't really surprise me, because that's the usual stuff that happens in these tournaments in Japan. The guy that's coming in from the outside is going to beat one of the guys who's considerable to be in the final for this tournament. That always happens. So,
especially when you're main eventing on the first show, you know that just makes them have the first show. They usually go for the upsets and stuff like that.
Yeah,
that's true of any tournament.
Show hasn't made tape yet, but I was able to see some photos of the match, and it looked like a usual Goshi Ozaki match because Alex Hammerstone's chest was really red after the match. And it will be interesting to see how he fits in there, because from MLW TV, we of course know him in pretty short TV-style matches, usually under 10-minute matches. But here for Noah, especially because they only have two tournament matches usually on their cards on this tour, they will have longer matches. And this match with Shiozaki lasted 17 minutes. It's going to be interesting to see how he fares in these longer matches. But as we said on the preview we did on the N1 Victory Tournament, this is the block that he should be in, because he's going to be in with guys like Marufuji, Suguyura, Shiozaki, and also Kitamiya, who will be able to guide Alex Hammerstone through this Japanese style of wrestling. And all he has been in Japan before, but this is his first real tour of Japan. And so that's going to be interesting to see how he fares.
And just stylistically, everyone besides Marufuji really fits in with what he can do, it feels like. Mm. They put him in a good block. It'll be interesting. I can't really say, like I said, that much about him in terms of how he gets over. But I will say that Noah has done a good job recently of getting foreign talent in. Someone like Ridgeway in the junior division, I think, has been a real great pickup for them. And I think they've got good eyes on that sort of thing.
Even someone from left field like Sonico, who's on the tour right now, brought in.
Yeah, like I said, it'll be interesting to see what he does here with Sonico. I'd like to see what these guys could do. I just recently, really going all the way back to when Alejandro Saez was there.
Yeah.
Noah has a good way of getting talent from unexpected places and people that might not be on the radar, but they're really solid and good workers. And we've seen it recently with guys like that, Jay Bradley, Ridgeway, as I mentioned. All these guys are really good workers that didn't really have a spotlight on them or really have any hope of going to New Japan, but they can make their mark here and be great diamonds in the rough kind of finds. I think Hammerstone can follow that tradition.
Do you know who the guy was that Hammerstone faced in his only match in Japan so far?
Wasn't his tour with, Inoki?
Was not a tour. It was a single show.
Yeah. That was on Inoki's show, right?
Yes.
Well, who was it? Oh, it was the giant.
Yes, the giant Montana Silva.
yeah, the giant big guy. Yeah,
Inokiism 2 on October 21st, 2017. So it's going to be very different.
Whatever happened to Ism?
I have no idea.
That's an era that it had a big little run for a month. Yeah. And then and Ism, they
let,
both just...
let me look at the Ism Twitter. Yeah, the Ism,
wow.
The Ism Twitter hasn't been active since October 2018.
Well,
so yeah,
Hammerstone was there.
He was there.
I don't know, you could tell that much from that.
He was on the same show where Scott Norton main evented against Peter Arts.
Well,
let's go back to Noah.
yeah, please.
Block B. Block B, I feel like, is all about kicks. Because, first of all, we have the second Axis guy in Katsuhiko Nakajima, who, by the way, he wore an awesome shirt at the N1 press conference. ever since he turned heel, we've been talking about that a lot. Ever since he turned heel, he's been a different guy than before. His face champion run failed, but now I really feel like that he has this grumpy heel veteran title run in him. Even though he's only 30 years old, he has 15 years of experience. So Katsuhiko Nakajima, he should be considered a favorite in this tournament, I guess.
Yeah, he was my pick when we talked about it originally. I thought he would win. He, like I just said, really him and Go are kind of similar because they didn't really work out. They tried with him. They gave him fair shots, but it didn't work out. And unlike Go, who, as you said, is kind of the same, Nakajima made a change after all these years, which is why I think Go can too, if he wanted to. Like I said, and Nakajima came up with this crazy hairdo with curly hair, started drinking a lot, and made it into his, all into his gimmick, pretty much. But still wrestles, you know, hard-hitting style, things like that. More heelish now than he was before, but, you know, he's a really strong worker. I thought he had a great year last year. Here, I think, of the two, I think Go is a better, like, pure wrestler than Nakajima, but Nakajima has much more charisma and is more all-around of a package. So, yeah, he's a favorite to me. I think they could be building to a particular match, but if that's not it, he would be the favorite to me.
Yeah. Second guy in this block is, you mentioned it before, Shuhei Taniguchi, the former Maybach Taniguchi. They took off his mask, and I'm really thankful for that.
Yep.
He was a tag team champion recently with, feels like a lifetime ago actually, he was a tag team champion with Yuji Hino as part of the Hooligans group that thankfully they dropped the angle. that didn't work out in any way. Ever since he's back to being Shuhei Taniguchi and being a face teaming with Kaito Kiyomiya, I feel like they really got behind the guy, and I can see him being a big, playing a big role in this tournament, because they really need him, to be quite honest. Even though he's 42 years old, they need him to be kind of a placeholder heavyweight contender right now, because there aren't that many that Noah has.
The funny thing is, they did the same thing where they took his mask off a few years ago, mm-hmm. and then put the mask back on him. Like, yeah. I never understood that, because I like him. Like, he's actually good as a worker.
He's actually good,
yeah. And remember, when he first came in, like, he was the top prospect of Noah. Everybody thought, it wasn't like, oh, he's the top prospect just because they say so. Everyone thought he was a great young lion, a young tiger, I guess you could say, in this case. He lost it when they did that stupid Maybach gimmick, and he was horrible. Just a total fail. Like, for,
yeah, you know, the best thing you can compare it with is that he was put in the same position as Takashi Iizuka was in New Japan. Takashi Iizuka was put in the position because his body didn't hold up anymore. And Taniguchi, he was a young guy when they put him under the mask and had him work this brawling style.
Yeah, like, yeah, he was totally, like, you know, he was a pretty solid worker, like, by the time when this all started. He wasn't a main eventer back then, obviously, but still, just total, just a very bad decision. Whatever led to that both times was just bad decision making. And now that he's got the mask off, and he reverted to his real name too, and not just keep calling him Maybach like they did the first time. And so that signals to me that whole mask crap is over with. And I think he's a really good worker. Like I said, not that dissimilar from Kitamiya to me. I think they're very similar in their roles and their, you know, a talent level. I think they can be good. He's older, though, so you would think that they would get behind Kitamiya more. Taniguchi, you know, he could get some wins in this block. They set him up, too, where he could kind of be the powerhouse of the block. You know, here, you know, he could be the one that scores wins over Mochizuki and Kenno, and it really wouldn't be a problem, you know, because he's so much bigger than them. So,
yeah.
A good worker, underrated because people only think of him as Maybach, but his actual wrestling ability is pretty high. Remember, a couple years ago, he was tag champion with Mar Fuji, actually, and had
a
great run. Yeah, exactly. So he's a good worker. Don't let the name value make you think he sucks. He's much better now than he was under the mask.
Kenno, the third guy. Kenno, his Twitter is all over the place, complaining that the champion is not in the tournament, and thus it's not the N1 climax, it's the N2 climax, he claims.
He reminds me of me. I didn't like that either.
So he's all over the place making these claims. He says he's going to win, he's going to challenge, and he's going to win the title eventually. Kano is a very interesting guy too, came from Michinoku Pro, obviously. He recently returned to Michinoku Pro, saying that he will be on the benefit show for Fujita Junior Hayato. It's very cool that he's doing that.
Yeah, that's
cool. And he's with the Kongo unit. I mentioned that before. Kano, I really think he's going to be on the top of his block, to be honest.
Yeah. Well, to me, there's two people that have been built up. Like I said earlier, yeah. Sugiura and him. And it just so happens they have a long-term feud against each other as well. and they're in opposite blocks. So to me, you know, you do the math on that. But Kano, he's really been the top personality of Noah this year. They've really given him a huge push on the mic, but not in terms of wins. Like, because Kano, they really... I don't understand. Like, that's really... Because Noah, to me, this year, is way better in terms of booking than in some place like All Japan. But that Kongo unit is the one weird mark that I feel like they really have not taken advantage of at all. And they had something good where him and Kiyomiya were kind of on the same side. We saw it last year with the new Super Generation Army. That really flopped. You know, they didn't handle that the right way either. So... really, both of his groups have had hard times, so to speak, that he's really the face of. I don't know what that says, but I really think that they should get behind him if they want him to be a star. If they don't want him to be a star, then, you know, that what they're doing is okay. But if they want him to be a main eventer and win this tournament and get title shots in big spots, then they should give him big wins. To me, he should be pushed, in my opinion, he should be pushed very strongly.
Yes.
And win the tournament.
Definitely. Definitely.
Yeah.
The one guy in this block who already dropped a match is Masaki Mochizuki from Pro Wrestling Noah. He lost to Katsuhiko Nakajima, also 17 minutes, just like the Hammerstone Shiozaki match. And Nakajima beat him by KO with a right high kick. I really want to see this match.
Yeah, that sounds completely awesome. And he's a great outsider, to be honest with you, to bring in. He fits perfectly. I don't know. He's so small that he won't win a lot.
Yeah, you know, the thing is that this block, Kano isn't the biggest guy either. And with Mochizuki in the ring, Kano can look a little bit bigger.
Yeah, that's great. That's awesome. You know, I love that. But ultimately, I don't care if he was 4'2". He's a great worker to me. Like, that's all I care about. And he's going to make all these guys look good regardless.
Yes.
And I bet that Nakajima match is great. I don't see him having much success in wins and losses, as I said. But I think he'll at least get one win over somebody. I could see him being the one, like, let's say Kano wins all of his matches except for one.
Mm-hmm.
I could see Mochizuki get a win. So that would give him kind of, like, credibility. Like,
yeah,
he beat the winner.
Like, these guys, even with the five guys in the block, there really isn't any room for... the outsiders getting more than one win, really.
Yeah. Taniguchi, it'll be interesting what they do with him.
Yeah.
I could see him getting some wins, but I could see him being the one to take the fall. Nakajima already beat him, so it'll be interesting what they do with him. Doc?
Yeah. Finally, El Hijo del Dr. Wagner Jr.
Yeah. 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 Well, he's a famous wrestler's son, in Mexico. His dad just main evented Triple Mania in a show that people loved. He's much more mobile than his dad these days. I just don't know about the fit at all. He's never really considered a top-tier luchador at all. A lot of people thought that he really isn't that great, to be honest. But here, he has a chance to do a completely different style. And I think that can only help him now that he can face a guy like Taniguchi. He wouldn't face someone like that in Mexico. The hard-hitting guys, I think maybe that could help him a little. But I just don't think he's a good fit. And I also don't think he's going to be winning many matches. If there was one person to go winless, it would probably be him, to be honest.
Hmm. Yeah, I don't know. I can see that. So let's get right in there. As we said, the first show happened in Nagoya this past weekend. Two matches from each block have happened. And the next show that we have here is from across Fukuoka. I would just say we'll take turns on this one. You start for this show, Dylan. It's the first one is Takashi Sugiura against Masaki Tamiya.
I think that... See, usually when I do these pick-ups, like with the G1, I think of the final and go backwards. But in the five-man block, like I said, there really is no room for error, like you mentioned, pretty much. You know, so it's hard to really give up surprise falls or anything like that. But to me, I think that... See, because this is real 50-50. I can see it going either way because I don't think Kitamiya is going to get a big push in this block.
Both of the matches on this show actually are 50-50.
Yeah, but this could, if there was going to be a match, I think he's going to get one big win. And much like Mochizuki in B block, I think he could be fulfill that role here. I'm going to go ahead and pick... I'll go with Kitamiya here. I'm going to go with the upset.
I'm going to go with the same way. I think I thought exactly the same. Going into this match there, that they could do the same that they did in Block A with an upset first. And then we have Kenno and Taniguchi. And here, I'd say they build up Taniguchi well, but they did this for the simple reason that they want him to look strong against Kenno in this block, and Kenno is picking up the first win here too.
Yeah. I don't even know if they've really built him up that well. Like he survived the fall, but it's not like he won. You know, like
you know, he's been picking up some big wins in six man tag matches. For example, tapping out Sugiura recently.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, you're right. You're right. The tag matches, he did get that win.
Yep.
I think that I agree with you though. I think Kenno will win for the reasons I said. But I like I said, I could see a situation where when it comes to Kenno, he could take a fall here. But I do think, ultimately, with Kongo, how it's been, Kenno's going to get the win here.
Yeah. Oita Event Hall, August 21st. A block, Maro Fuji against Kitamiya, Dylan.
I think Maro Fuji is going to win that match.
Yeah, me too. So yeah. That puts up Maro Fuji at 2 and Masaki Tamiya at 2 as well. Masaki Mochizuki against El Hijo del Dr. Wagner Jr. I can't see Dragon Gate agreeing to Mochizuki losing to Dr. Wagner Jr. So I'm gonna go and say, on the other hand, maybe, Mochizuki has to pick up another win. I'm just going to go with Dr. Wagner Jr.
Yeah, if he's going to get a win here, you think this would be the one.
Yeah.
But then again, I can see him getting 0. So I'm going to be different. I'm going to go with Mochizuki here. I'm going to go with the Dragon Gate because I think it's a lot harder to pull out Mochizuki from Dragon Gate. Wagner, it's like they're kind of doing him a favor. So I'm going to go with Mochizuki here.
Okay. So then the next show that's happening is in Kumamoto, August 23rd. Maro Fuji against Shiozaki is the match that's probably going to main event the show. And on the Misawa Memorial Show, Shiozaki beat Maro Fuji. So thinking about that, I think Maro Fuji is going to start strong and picking up his next 2 points against Shiozaki, who is still without any wins until this point.
I can see this match going to a draw as well. Like, yeah. It's in the event. They've done that before with Go, but the fact that Go beat him makes me think that Maro Fuji's going to win. Like that's really the main difference there. But I could see this being the main event, going to a 30-minute draw.
Yeah, especially because they only have 2 matches on each show. They could do some draws in this tournament.
Yeah, but the time limit draw though, I'm not buying that for much. Like with only 5 people, I think you really have to go sparingly with that. And so I'm going to go with it here. I'm going to give Go the draw point here and keep Marufuji strong, undefeated.
Since I already gave Iho his victory over Mochizuki, he's going to lose against Nakajima, which means Nakajima picks up his next two, is up at 4 in my pick'ems.
No doubt about it. I think Nakajima, that would be stupid for him to lose that match.
Really interesting to see what the next one is going to be, because it's the only match on the 24th of August show from Takamatsu, Dylan. It's your turn, Nakajima against Taniguchi.
I think Taniguchi gets his first win in that match. Nakajima starts off strong, and that game...
By the way, did you pick Nakajima and Wagner yet?
I said Nakajima, no doubt, okay, that he's going to win. Okay. It would be crazy if Wagner won.
Okay, back to Nakajima.
Yeah, I think Taniguchi gets the win over Nakajima.
Me too. That is going to be the first two points for Taniguchi in his block. Nakajima stays at 4 in my pick-ins. Then they have a big show in Osaka Ilian Arena on the 25th. Two matches. First of all, Block A, Dylan Takashi Sugiura against Alex Hammerstone. I think it's safe to say that Sugiura is going to win.
Yeah, very, very little chance Hammerstone wins that match. I'm going with Sugiura.
So let me see here. Where do we have Sugiura? I have Sugiura at 2 points right now. Alex Hammerstone at 2 as well. The next one is Shuhei Taniguchi against Elio del Dr. Wagner Jr. Dylan?
Taniguchi's winning this match.
So I'm going to pick Taniguchi as well. He's going up to 4. Wagner stays at 2. Goshi Ozaki against Masa Kitamiya. Masa Kitamiya, in both of our blocks, has beaten Sugiura. And since Goshi Ozaki is still winless at this point, he's going to pick up his first two here.
Yep, feel the same way. Even with the draw, I think he gets the win in my block.
Oh, by the way, this is already August 29 in Kurikan.
Yeah, see, that should be a big match, then. They're going to put their working boots on that. I think that's going to be a great match, and I think Go is going to take it.
Keno against Masaki Mochizuki, Dylan.
Just like I said before, I think Mochizuki getting the win here would be great for Dragon Gate and give him something to talk about in my OG plans for this tournament. Mm-hmm. So I'm going with Mochizuki to get the win.
Yep, that's only Keno's second match in the block, if I'm not mistaken. So that's going to be a 2 for Keno and 2 for Mochizuki. Because I'm picking Mochizuki as well. We go to Tsukuba Kappio on September 6th. And we only have one match on this show. It's Keno against Dr. Wagner Jr. Dylan?
Tough call. I think I think Keno's going to get it.
Yeah, so that would put Keno up at 4. Wagner stays at 2. September 7th.
I just want to mention at this point, there's a four-way tie in B block on mine with all 4 points and Wagner.
Yep. Well, Mochizuki only has 2, right?
I have 4. Him at 4.
Who did he beat?
Wagner.
But that's 2 points. Oh, he beat Wagner.
Wagner at 0.
Did he beat Wagner in your pickems? Oh, he lost to Wagner in mine. Okay,
You picked Wagner and I picked Mochizuki. That's really our only disagreement. That the draw.
Let's see. It's Sugiura against Marufuji. Yokohama Radiant Hall. It's an interesting one because that could already be one of the deciding matches. I have both guys at 4. No, I have Sugiura at 2. So, since Marufuji started out strong and Sugiura dropped his first in my pick'ems, I'm going to pick Sugiura to go over Marufuji in this one. Or am I? No! I'm going to go to a time limit draw.
Okay, this is your draw. Because I was thinking that same thing, that this could be a draw.
So this means Sugiura 3 and Marufuji 5.
Yep. For me... Like I said, I could see like this playing out in an interesting way, how they did this pretty much. because if that were to happen, I could see something where they're both they're both tied at the end and they have a playoff match. You know, if that were to happen, but because Sugiura, I'm trying to envision how this would work. The most he could have would be that. Go would beat him. I think it's too complicated with the draw. So really, I'm going to pick Sugiura to win here, and I went with Go getting the draw over Sugiura. But we're both kind of on the same track, more or less.
Yeah. Then another one match show for the N1 from Fukushima, September 8th. It's your pick, Dylan, now Masaki Tamiya against Alex Hammerstone.
I think Tamiya will get the win.
Hmm.
Yeah. Hammerstone already got the big win. I don't think he's going to win anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, that would pick. That would get Masaki Tamiya's next 2 points. He'd be at 4, Hammerstone at 2. Yes, I can see that.
Yep.
So, this already brings us to the final show of Block Action from Currican Hall, September 9. And we have 4 matches on this show. We'll start off with Block A. It's Mao Fuji against Alex Hammerstone. And since I picked the time limit draw with Mao Fuji and Sugiura, I say that Alex Hammerstone beats Mao Fuji, which means Mao Fuji stays at 5 and Alex Hammerstone goes up to 4. And what about you?
I think Mao Fuji will win. See, I didn't book myself into that corner.
I didn't put myself into a corner either, but it plays out well here for me.
Yeah, well, Hammerstone getting 4 points isn't that crazy. Like I said, if they want to start the relationship with MLW on the right foot, I guess. But I think Mara Fuji, I think he's getting the win here. And we both have him at 5, though. So you see, so it's a good. I just had him. I had Go getting put over more than Hammerstone. That's really different.
The thing is, I'm really questioning my booking here because Shiozaki only has 1 victory in my pick'ems.
Are you sure we've done every show? I said, let's see, he's lost him. Yeah, I think we have.
Done every show. Let me see. Yeah. Let me see what we have here. Wait a sec.
And he's faced Hammerstone, Kitamiya, and Mao Fuji already in his last nights against Sugiura, right? Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
That would mean that in my pick'ems, Shiozaki is at the bottom of the block. Because I'm picking Sugiura to beat Shiozaki. Shiozaki staying at 2, and Sugiura getting 6.
Getting up to 5.
5. Now that doesn't work out. Because that would mean...
See, that's exactly what I said. That means they would have to do some kind of special
They have to do some kind of... But I can see that. I can actually see that because they still have 1 show left.
Yeah, exactly.
See, so that would actually kind of make sense. Sugiura at 5 and Mao Fuji at 5.
The problem is that Go is going to finish at the bottom of the block because of the tag titles. To me, really the only. If you'd swapped Go and Hammerstone, I think we'd be right about the same, more or less.
Yeah,
I think Sugiura is very likely to win this match. To be honest with you, and I could actually see them going to a draw too. It's funny because now with the 5-man block, you can predict a draw more reasonably because it makes more sense, you know. Here, though, I'm going to go ahead because either way, if he were to get the draw in my block, Sugiura would still advance because he has the win over Mao Fuji. Mm-hmm. Go would just get an extra point. But I think they're just going to go strong with Sugiura and get him the win here.
Exactly. Yeah, so next up is Block B. It's your turn, Nakajima against Kenno.
I think Kenno gets the win. This is like the deciding factor of the block.
Yeah, for me too. That means Nakajima ends up at 4, Kenno gets 6. And we have Shuhei Taniguchi against Masaki Mochizuki left. And, it's interesting, because, let me see how I picked Keno beat Taniguchi. Right. Yeah. So I think Taniguchi and, well, Nakajima and Keno is probably going to go on after Taniguchi and Mochizuki. Mochizuki would stay at 2 points in my pick'ems.
Yep.
And Taniguchi gets up to 6, which means he creates pressure for both Nakajima and Keno. And Keno wins the match, has the tiebreaker over Taniguchi, and advances to the final.
Yeah, same for me. I think Taniguchi wins. And in mine, Mochizuki had 4. So I like my booking because it teases. And this is where I think I liked how I did it, because they've teased feuds with both Sugira and Keno and Marufuji and Mochizuki, which they haven't paid off, and they could at a later date. And now, in my version, basically one of them will advance and happen, and the other one they could save for a later date. And in mine, I had Sugira and Keno. So I like that part of mine.
So
how
I, in your block B, Keno is advancing, and in block A, it's Sugiura too?
Yeah.
So for me, that would... It's kind of boring, but I figure that's what it comes down to, what we feel like. But for me, at least I have some more attention in here because I got the playoff match between Sugiura and Marufuji in Osaka Eden Arena. And I really feel like, Dylan, I don't know about you, but I really feel that they have to put up some strong matches on this show because they are going to run the big Eden Arena. They already have the big 6-man tag with Keiji Muto, Jun Akiyama, and Kaito Kiyomiya against 3 opponents that have to be named yet. They have the junior title match, Hayata against Yohei, and a special 6-man tag match with Yoshinari Ogawa, Kotaro Suzuki, and Chris Ridgway against Kazushi Sakuraba, Hajime Ohara, and Nosawa Rongai. And of course the final. And with another singles match between Goshi Ozaki and Naomichi Marufuji, especially with the stakes so high, I can see them getting special attention from the fans, maybe sell some more tickets. So that's really something that they could do. Marufuji against Sugiura. I'd say Sugiura wins this one. And then in the final, he loses to Keno.
Yeah, I think... they've built Keno versus Kiyomiya so much.
I told you the same a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, they did. And I thought about Nakajima at first, but the way that, like, that was when I thought there would be more people into it, more or less, and I thought things, circumstances might be a little different, but with how it's played out, I think I have to come around on your side of that. I think Keno will get the win. Sugiura, most importantly, Sugiura's already had 2 title shots this year.
Exactly, yeah.
So I can't really see him getting a third. Especially if this is going to be the Sumo Hall main event.
It's going to be the Sumo Hall main event, I'm pretty sure. You know, when I went into this pick'ems, my original idea was Keno against Goshi Ozaki, but obviously that didn't play out for me. I can still see that being a final. Because, you know... we talked about Shiozaki earlier. Always the bridesmaid, never the bride. He's the one to put over guys. He put over Keno before in the Global League 2 years ago. I can see that happening again. But still, Keno picking up a win over Sugiura would be huge for him and would create real star power before Sumo Hall.
And they've built that feud up, too. Like, Keno hates Sugiura. Like Keno and Go don't really have a history, more or less, other than Go was in that Generation Army faction, even though he was, like, older than some of the old guys.
Yeah, they didn't really cross paths in the recent months either, so, yeah.
Yeah, I think Go's a good worker. Like I said, I think he'll put on great matches, but him losing to Hammerstone kind of signifies to me that he's not going to be too much of a player.
He would have to win all of his remaining matches.
Yeah, I pretty much to get there. Yeah, I think so too, and I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think he's getting a big win. I gave him a little bit of a put over with Marufuji, and that sets up their match at the show too, if they wanted to do that on the September 17th show. So I think it works out pretty good. Both of our, basically though, no matter how you pick him, it's going to wind up with Keno and Sugiura, we think. Anyway.
Yeah. So that's it, I guess. And another reason, I guess we talked about that before, another reason why neither Shiozaki nor Nakajima can make the finals is that they probably will have a big tag team title match on the Osaka show too.
Yeah, so that's
another factor.
Yeah, and I think that's just logical, really. And plus, it's hard. Like, Go, he can't main event Sumo Hall, with any logic.
Yeah.
You know, Nakajima, I think, would even be a stretch after his last title reign, but I could see if they wanted to go that way. The problem is Kendo's been built up much more, like you said, so I went with that. We both think Taniguchi's going to get a pretty nifty run here. I'm looking at our scores right now. You're a little bit higher on Hammerstone getting wins, and I'm a little bit higher on Mochizuki. That's really the main difference is. And I'm a little higher on Go, but either way, I think Sugiura will win. And
2 points really look bad for Go, but then again, it's a 5-guy block. That there is not a lot of space for people to pick up a lot of victories here.
Yeah, there is no real consolation victories.
No.
In these tournaments, which I think is kind of interesting. I think that separates it a little bit from the G1 and obviously Champion Carnival as well. But where do you think they're going? So let's just say in this version of our booking of Noah, we're going to step into fantasy booking world right now, me and you, Strick. We think that the main event of the Sumo Hall show will be Kenno versus Kaito Kiyomiya.
Yes.
Correct?
Yes.
What else would be on that show? Because to me, Kenno is not a mainstream name. They built him up effectively, somewhat, but also they've also hurt him with this Congo stuff. So, to me, he comes across like he's not as strong of a main eventer as someone like Sugiura, and I think Sugiura and Marufuji both will have to have, how should I say this, marquee matches on that show.
Mm-hmm. You know, they brought in Sakuraba thinking that Sakuraba might be a draw, but I don't really see that.
Especially in a random junior match with Osawa.
Exactly. So they brought in Muto and Akiyama. And honestly, does it get any bigger? Who can they bring in? They could bring in Tatsumi Fujinami, but I don't see him being a draw either in 2019.
No.
Do you think they could bring in Dr. Wagner Jr.?
That would be kind of cool.
Match with his son going for the tag titles, maybe?
That would make perfect sense for why they brought Iho here, if they wanted to parlay it into Dr. Wagner Jr., but I don't think he's a draw.
But who is? Who can they bring in?
You think they're going to bring back Muto and Akiyama for the Sumo Hall show?
Yeah, I can see that.
And what would you do with those guys? Because to me, I think, and I said this on the other show, on the Patreon show, but I think an idea that could see playing out is what if Kento Miyahara comes to the Sumo Hall?
Wow. Yeah. Like Marufuji.
Exactly.
And, I don't know, who would he be teaming with? Marufuji and Taniguchi, maybe?
Marufuji in a junior heavyweight.
They brought in Akiyama for the September show already, and they brought in guys for the Aoki Memorial show, I can see it's some crossover with All Japan being in the works.
Yeah. Let's say Akiyama, Kento, and maybe Oyagi.
Yeah, there has to be someone who drops the fall.
Yeah, and Marufuji can lead a team with him, Taniguchi, and who would be a non... Stinger, the factions are more well defined than Noah when it comes to the juniors.
Look, I was first looking at the Osaka show because that's a big show too, and they have to fill that big show too before I would go to Sumo Hall, because the tag title match I was talking about would be for Osaka, like Shiozaki and Nakajima against the Wagners.
I mean, I'm not trying to dismiss that show, but the Sumo Hall show is like 5 times bigger.
Is it though? Because the Osaka show, Osaka also holds about 5,500 people, and Sumo Hall, if they have the smaller setup that DDT or All Japan use, they get around 6,000-7,000. That's not that much bigger.
You're right about that. You just made a great point that I kind of overlooked there. So you're right on that one. But I think
from the promotional standpoint, Sumo Hall is
better. Yeah. Exactly. Like, if this show tanks and then Sumo Hall does a set, no, I don't want to say sellout, but if it does a great show, like, you know, and they win the day, then the Osaka show, you can kind of look past it. But I don't think that's going to happen. I think this Osaka show, they've done all they can do, really, though. That's another thing that makes it less interesting. We can't really fantasy book that much. They're going to have probably a tag title match and whatever that Muto match is. So there's not really much more you can add on.
You know, they are not going to work with New Japan. I think that's out of the window, so there is nobody from New Japan coming over. That could be a draw. There could be someone from Impact coming over, though. We'll see about that.
Sure. That, to me, like, no matter who it is, really isn't a difference maker at all.
No, but is there really anything that's a difference maker except for the guys that we already mentioned? I don't think so. I think they really bet on themselves, and they need to make this happen.
I mean, yeah, but like I said, they've done all they could do with the Osaka show.
Yeah.
You know, like I said, the six-man tag is going to have a lot of guests, you know, in theory. So whoever we're not thinking of will probably be in that match, more or less. I don't think there's going to be any, like, extra matches added on more than what we think. More or less, and, you know, that we'll see how it goes. I don't even know if those guys are,
you know,
are big.
It's really hard for us to guess too, because especially with both companies, Noah and All Japan, having new bookers and presidents in place this year, and them really doing stuff that's really from left field in some cases, especially for Pro Wrestling Noah bringing in Sakuraba, for example. And even All Japan doing some weird stuff now with this Hellboy tag match now. It's really hard to predict what either booking team is going to do and who they are going to bring in and who they are going to partner with. Noah, there is one guy that is working for MLW and that could be Noah too. What about LA Park?
Yeah, he could come over in theory, but again, I don't think he's a huge name to Japanese fans. Mm. Like, any foreigners to me is like a zero. That's like irrelevant, like, to be honest with you. And I'm not saying completely irrelevant, but they're not going to move the needle to an extent where, you know, like, that's going to turn it all around. And not that it needs to be turned around right now. I think they've done pretty much all they can do for this Osaka show, like I said.
So, for Osaka, Dylan, let's just go to Osaka first. What would be a draw that you'd say is good for Osaka? Remember, both of the New Japan G1 Climax shows did an official attendance of 5,555 fans.
And that's the setup they're going to run?
I think that's going to be the setup they're going to do. Maybe a little bit less. Maybe.
Yeah, didn't All Japan run that show, run that same arena last year, and it was, like,
they
pretty
did.
Disappointing.
They did, like, 2,000 fans, I think.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. So, to me, if they could get between 2,500 to 3,000 fans, then that's not all you can expect, to me.
Yeah.
And I think they've done that before. Like, I think they've done 2,500 or around there not that long ago, so definitely possible.
Let me see. Which show was it that All Japan ran there?
Yeah, that was last year. It was Kento and Zeus. It was in July, I think.
Yes.
Yeah.
All Japan drew 2,458 people to the show. I think, yeah, you'd need to do at least 3,000 to make this look good in any way.
Yeah. That was a really disappointing number.
But to be honest, Dylan, can you see Noah drawing 3,000 people for the show?
It's tough. There's not even any title match on the show. You know, there is.
There is the junior title match.
But not the main title.
You know, yeah, that's true.
You know, and we think there'll probably be a tag title match of some sort on there, too. The outsiders are really kind of the driving force and the N1 finals. I think that 3,000, because like I said, they were on a hot run earlier in the year where they had that huge show in May at the Tag League Finals, and then the Misawa show did a very strong number as well. it'll be interesting to see how this goes. I think it's possible, though. I wouldn't write them off completely, but I can also see them being less for sure. Like I said, I think they'll at least get 2,500, but 3,000 is about where I would predict them. Like, that's the high end of what they'll do. 2,500 is the low end. But I think it'll beat that All Japan number from last year.
Yeah. It's going to be tough, especially because, in Osaka, most groups struggle, like we've seen it in the past. Even Noah, when they ran the Eden Arena number 2, they drew 925. Last November, they drew 810 this January, but then 900 people all the time, usually for their shows. But then there was this weird draw that they did in May of 2018 when they had just the singles match of Nakajima and Goshi Ozaki headlining, and they drew 285 people to the same arena, so like 700 down. That was weird. And even All Japan didn't draw so well in Osaka recently. It's a tough market for wrestling.
Yeah. So I think they have enough of these guys that they're going to do all right, but I don't think it's going to blow up like New Japan or even approach that, to be honest. Like, to be honest, this whole show, that's why I think the other show is much more interesting to talk about, because this show really feels like a stopgap kind of show. Like, besides the final, none of this stuff is really important to storylines that we're talking about. It's just bringing in outside names to have random matches. It doesn't feel like this is the show that will have a big moment or anything you can't miss besides the final match of the tournament, really. I think that's the main thing storyline-wise on the show, and everything else is just throwing names out there.
Exactly. So, for Sumo Hall, Dylan, what would be a good number? Going back to the two recent All Japan shows they had in 2016-2017, New Explosion in 2016 had an official number of 6,522 people, and the 45th anniversary in 2017 did an official number of 6,555 people. To be honest, both of these shows looked more like 5,000 than 6,000.
Yeah, I was thinking that too, like, to be honest with you. I think I said before that 5,000 would be a solid number for them, considering where they're at. This is a pretty big step up for Noah to go there. Nobody even thought of this before it even happened. And people were already decrying them for even doing it when it happened. They were pretty much saying it was a horrible idea. But I don't think you can bet against this group that much. I can't write them off immediately from doing what the All Japan shows did. But I doubt they get much more than that. I think that's the absolute max they could do. And if they get anything above 7,000, then this is a huge success for them. But
I don't see them doing more than they did for Flight last year. And they did 6,285.
I think that would be a fine number if they
that did would that. Be a very good number, to be honest.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, so if they did that, that's totally fine. I could see them going down to 5,500, though. My expectations are a little in check. I think they'll do more than 5, but if they make 6, to me, then that's a successful show. I have heard they wanted to run... some people told me that they wanted to run Budokan next year. And that's my... like, if this show is a success, what that means, I don't know. Like, or what they would determine.
Yeah, but even if they draw 5,000 people...
That's not
selling out Budokan means they need at least 3 times that number.
I said success. 5,000, I'm certain that it has to be more than that. Which is why I thought that someone like Kento could be brought in. And my idea for this all was that this could lead up, instead of them running Budokan, if they're so set for that, what if Noah and All Japan did a joint show next year in Budokan Hall? Like a true co-promotional deal. And said, like, we're together, and that would set up the Budokan. I think that would be a way better plan for success. And that's what I kind of want to see from the Sumo Hall show. I hope that they can reach out to All Japan and get Kento in and get Akiyama in.
And it would be the 20th anniversary of the split.
Yep, and I think that's why it's so perfect that it works out.
It sounds like a great idea, actually, yeah.
Yeah, and I think that's reasonable.
And even if they do like 10,000 in Budokan, that would still be good for both companies.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. That would be a huge success if that's how it played out. They don't have nobody expects them to sell out, and I don't think anybody expects no one to sell out this Sumo Hall show either. If they did, that would be great. Like, you know, maybe we've all underrated them. But I think that if they could just get some All Japan guys on this show, let's say they do 6,500. Let's say they match the All Japan numbers.
Hmm.
And they decide, hey, no one All Japan, we're back together again. We're working together. We're going to do this one show. This is the only time you can see us face off All Japan versus Noah in Budokan whenever next year. I think that's reasonable. But then they have to make this step first, you know. So, to me, they set it up good on the Aoki show that Kento could come to Noah and do something. I think that's something that would get interesting. That alone, whatever he does, just him being on the show is a huge boost to interest, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and we saw on the Baba Memorial show how big of a star Kento was to that audience.
Yeah, exactly. And him and Noah would be like I said, that's uncharted territory, more or less.
Not really, because he has been there, as you said, but he left.
That doesn't matter at all to the fans. In reality, to the fans, like, this is uncharted territory. We've seen Kento wrestle All Japan guys a ton, and he really hasn't even ventured out of that outside of that Baba show. It's very rare he wrestles.
Yeah, he's going to do the Destroyer Memorial show, too.
Yeah, and it's against New Japan guys too.
Yeah.
See, so like, really, that's the only time is when it's for a fallen hero.
So the main event of that Destroyer Memorial show is Keiji Muto, Kento Miyahara, and Yushin Thunder Liger against Sanada, Kai, and Bushi, all former All Japan guys.
Yeah, that's pretty interesting. Destroyer, he's a legend, and that's a very interesting match for all kinds of reasons. And it should be really cool seeing Kento there. I think Kento's going to get the biggest pop, too, of all of those guys, along with Liger. His team is going to be super over, yes. I think, in that show.
Definitely. Alrighty. So, a lot of speculations on the part of Pro Wrestling Noah.
Yeah.
We on the Eastern Lariat, we have some stuff up to, just one day before this show came up. I put up an old show. I call it the Lariat from the Vault. Because it's a show that we did in 2016 on the Super J Cup 1994. And just before the Super J Cup 2019 starts, there will be another show that we will put up this week on the Super J Cup 1995 that was promoted by Pro Wrestling War. So that is coming up this week. Still, I'm really looking forward to that show.
Oh, I can't wait for that show. I think that's going to be a ton of fun to do. That Super J-Cup 95, it's so interesting because in the 94 show, that really is the peak of the legendary Super J-Cup shows. The first one, obviously. Amazing crowd for that. Huge draw for the junior heavyweights. And this 95 show, I think the one thing that separates it from that, I'm not going to say whether it was better or worse, but I think the thing that it definitely wins on is that it has so many unique and different characters
on
the 95 show that you wouldn't see on the 94 show.
That's true. So that's coming up. Check us out on Twitter. I'm at Strigga, Strigga. He is Dylan0Sky on Twitter. And also please check out our Patreon at patreon.com/EasternLariat. Dylan has been doing a lot of work there, so please check us out. And
I got some more stuff coming up too.
Of course you do.
This week is a big start, as I'm going to do the best of the 90s, a countdown of the top 50 matches of every year through the 1990s. It starts off this week, probably by the time this even airs, or a little after it maybe. I'm going to release a show covering the top matches from the year 1990 itself. Not quite to the 95 J-Cup level, but starting in a very important year. That actually, honestly, you can trace the turn of Japanese pro wrestling in general to the year 1990, because things took a big change.
Yes.
And nearly every company, in terms of new aces created, in both All Japan and New Japan, and huge booking pattern too changes, because UWF kind of forced their hand.
Mm-hmm.
In the 80s, it used to be all dirty finishes in All Japan and stuff. You know, count outs and DQs and stuff. But then UWF came along, and they decided enough of that. It's all clean stuff now. Tenryu left, started SWS, We'll see if that makes the top 50 in any of the 1990 SWS matches. But All Japan will be there. New Japan will be there. Joshi has a huge influence. This was the golden era of All Japan Pro Wrestling. Even some American wrestling will be there, and the Lucha Libre too. All of it is represented. Every single style is. Tell me what you think of the matches or any of your favorites from the year 1990. I'll try and shout you out on the show and do stuff like that. But I'm really looking forward to starting off this project. I think it's going to be a great thing to go back and look at in the 90s.
Yeah, so please check out our Patreon. And if you have done yet, if you've subscribed to the Patreon, I want to thank you all for doing that. And also, of course, on behalf of Dylan, I want to thank you for that. And this has been the Eastern Lariat for now. Check us out back this week with the Super J-Cup 95. Thank you for listening, and goodbye.
Sayonara.
Stream worldwide. This is the MLWRadio.com network.